Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey still joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. All right. As Chris and I were talking last week, the news broke, as has been a pattern for the past year or two, that news breaks late on a Friday so that we can't call or bother anybody.
What's going to happen today?
It's very strategic. Something's probably going to happen, if it hasn't already happened. And, C.J. Revis is... I don't know what to say at this point, because it's a student conduct board hearing that resulted in his no longer being enrolled at Virginia Tech. There's a lot of language that would confuse you as a fan if you're reading the reports. You know, it's, well, his status has still not been commented on, and this. It's very simple. You know, there was a student conduct board hearing. As a result of it, he's no longer a student, which means he was dismissed. And you can't play college football without being a college student. So
that's how it works.
It's how it works, right. So it's very simple about his status on the team.
You have to say you can't play college football without being enrolled.
Well, okay, yeah. There you go. We'll
go insert North Carolina joke.
Yeah,
here.
We'll go with that. Let's go with that approach. So I think right now Jimmy Turk, his attorney, says there's an appeals process. Yeah. Let it play out a week to 10 days. That's fine. Maybe something happens and he works this out. It gets reversed. They win the appeal. I don't know. I'm just saying right now at this point in time, you can't expect C.J. Revis back.
No, I don't think you can.
No, and you have to move forward with the mindset that he's not going to be a factor. And it's going to have to be either Desmond Fry or Chuck Clark gets moved around, which is not the worst thing in the world. Chuck Clark is very reliable at just about any secondary spot back there, from what we hear. Brandon Faison, if he's 100% healthy, that alleviates a lot of concern. So depth is okay. It's fine at that position. You don't start to worry until you start hearing, well, Faison's got some rust to shake off, or he's not 100% healthy, or he doesn't look like the same guy before the injury. Then you lose two guys that are projected starters. You start to say, oh, okay, well, maybe you're concerned now, really concerned now.
And if that happens, and if Desmond Fry isn't up to the job, then you have to start moving somebody. You have to either move, like you said, move Chuck Clark over there, or
right.
Donovan Riley.
You got to rely a lot on a guy like Greg Stroman.
Exactly,
you know?
Who I don't think is quite ready to play defense yet. Great special teams player, great punt returner, but I don't think he's quite ready to play defense at this point in time. Mook Reynolds would be a guy who would be in there, I think, involved in your nickel role if it came to that.
And what can you get out of Ronnie Van Dyke at the whip spot? You know, because that becomes very important, too.
Right, you're exactly right. So if you're sitting there thinking, man, maybe we don't have enough quality defensive backs anymore, maybe we ought to use our
whip more.
Yeah, but Ronnie Van Dyke, man, he hasn't played since 2012, really, when you think about it. And he's always been so banged up. Can he stay healthy? Behind him, you've got Holland Fisher, who's never played a down in college football. So I think Virginia Tech, I think they'll be fine if Desmond Fry plays well. And I think he will, because he's had a good spring. He had a good spring this year. He had a good spring the year before. The only reason he wasn't the starting rover was because C.J. Revis was really good.
So I
have confidence in Desmond Fry. I don't think this is going to lead to any kind of movement where guys are changing positions and things like that out of necessity. But it could. It could. That possibility is always there.
It could. And the other thing here, though, the other thing to mention here is that while we don't know for certain, and we cannot say with any degree of certainty what it is that got C.J. Revis, dismissed from school, there were the comments back in the spring, and C.J. Revis was not made available to the media after the spring game. Frank made those very, furtive comments hinting at some off-the-field stuff. So I would tend to believe they've been planning for a situation like this, or understanding this was a possibility. This didn't catch them off guard that C.J. Revis, has run into some kind of trouble and is no longer around. I would imagine that there was already a contingency plan in place for this.
I would hope
That's a good point. And for fans who may not have thought it all the way through, in the case of Shia McKenzie, exactly what happened, because it was in the court system.
That's right.
It's public record. In the case of C.J. Revis, this is a school matter, and the school is not going to release that information unless the student or player says it's okay to. It's much more private than what goes on in a court of law. That's why, sometimes fans think, well, why don't we know what happened? Well, that's the reason why. It's not a legal matter. It's public record. It's a little different.
It is, and you'll never see those records unless C.J. Revis decides to release them to the
public.
Would he do that? That's just the fact of the matter. So, honestly, I'm not going to endorse the kid. I'm not going to stick my neck or my reputation out on the line for a kid that truly I don't know very well. We've probably had about a dozen interactions with CJ over the past year and a half, 2 years, just as, team media obligations. And I will say that every time I've spoken with CJ, he's been nothing but friendly, articulate, candid, well-spoken, all those things. And so I'm going to give the kid the benefit of the doubt, and you know, unless we hear something otherwise, it's a rough situation. You hate to see a young guy make whatever decision that he made or do whatever he did to put his college football and potential pro football career in jeopardy.
I hope he gets exactly what he deserves. If he deserves to play,
right,
then I hope he plays.
Yep.
If he doesn't deserve to play, then I hope he doesn't.
That's the perfect way to put it. So there's that situation. I think, you know, we've really almost exhausted all of the preseason, off-season football stuff that we can talk about until play gets back underway. I think the one thing that still remains the most critical is, who is Michael Brewer going to be in year two? That, I think right now, that is the most important thing. Offensive line depth is clearly important. Finding someone behind Andrew Matuapuaka at the backer spot is really, really important. But, I mean, it's Michael Brewer year two, because if he takes care of the football – you know, assuming the defense stays healthy, they're going to have a good year. They've just got to take care of the football, something they did not do last year.
You know, they won 7 games last year, despite having so many freshmen on the field, despite all the injuries, despite a few turnover-filled games from him, and they still managed to win 7 games. So,
and lost, what, 5 games by a combined 20 points?
Something like that.
I think that's
and
what it was.
You got to say, this year you're not going to be all freshmen. You're going to assume that you're not going to be as banged up as they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make that assumption. Sure, they're going to have injuries, of course, but I don't think it's possible to be as banged
up
as they
were. The law of averages has to kick in at some point.
Right.
People get injured in football, but the last 2 or 3 years have been just you know, abnormally high. The rate of injury has been abnormally high.
Absolutely. And you know, then if he cuts his interceptions down to 10, I mean, if you combine all those 3 things together, how many wins is that worth?
That's 2, a huge difference.
3?
Yeah. I mean,
more?
It's ifs and buts or candies and nuts and all that stuff, and every team goes through this. You know, even when you look back to the Georgia Tech game and say, well, if he doesn't throw those 3 picks, or he doesn't throw those picks when he throws them, Virginia Tech wins that game, and who knows how it changes the course of the season. Well, Georgia Tech also missed 2 or 3 opportunities, you know, in that game. So I know it's a little bit different, but every football team can say those things.
Well, and the other flip side of that is Brewer made some great plays against Ohio State.
Right.
The go-ahead touchdown pass to Bucky Hodges was a really nice pass.
Yes, it was.
The plays that he made against Virginia to win the game, you know, yes, they went 7-5. Was it 7-5?
It was 6-6.
6-6 in the regular season.
6-6 in the regular season.
Yeah.
It was pretty close to being 3-9 also. Ohio State.
You're right. That's
uh-huh.
The point.
You know, so. It goes both ways in that game. It really does. So I think Brewer in year two is critical. You would like to believe that the quarterback situation with some you know, with some continuity, you know, with Motley back there having gotten some work last year, he's going to be comfortable in the backup role. You know, that you like to think they're going to be improved at least to some measure. Offensive line, I said, is still the question mark is depth, as is wide receiver. Who's going to catch the football this year? You assume that Bucky and Ryan Malik, you know, are going to be back and productive and maybe better. And Calvin Klein, is he going to have a healthy season? Phillips and Ford, you figure they're going to be older.
As long as everybody stays healthy, that's enough.
You would think that's enough, right? But behind, you know, God forbid Ford goes down for a game or Phillips goes down for a couple of games. I mean, Dimitri Knowles hasn't proven himself to be reliable long term. Kevin Asante's been away from the team, you know, for over a year, and he's still got a lot to prove out there.
Jalen Bradshaw was hurt during the spring.
Right.
You just don't know what you have there. I wish it's a shame Josh Stanford just apparently doesn't care about football.
Flaked out or whatever.
And you know, that's his prerogative.
His prerogative. Apparently, he's still in Blacksburg.
I saw him a week and a half ago.
No kidding.
Ran into him on the sidewalk.
He just doesn't want to play football anymore.
No, ran into him on the sidewalk. I was stunned. I didn't think he'd still be around at this point.
Yeah.
You know, why still be in Blacksburg if you don't want to play football?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially when you don't even like Blacksburg. Remember that tweet he had?
And that was the point that I was making.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you love the school and you were here for the academics, okay, I understand that. But the gist of it, or at least the implication was he didn't like being here. So when I saw him on the sidewalk, I just, are you visiting? Are you lost? You coming back to play? What's the deal here?
Canada's that way, buddy.
Yeah, I know. You're going the wrong direction, big guy. So, yeah, they could use him this year without question. So all those things, you know, the defense, you got all 4 defensive linemen who have been nominated for some watch list or some preseason All-ACC or All-American team. You figure you're fine up front. Now, the front 7, though, you know, you got Deion Clark. He's proven himself a couple of times. I still think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about Andrew Matuapuaka. I know you've got some concerns about him, and those are all understandable. You've explained those well. And then Ronnie Van Dyke, man. I mean, if it clicks for that guy, you know, and he can stay on the field, you know, if he could ever realize what it is that Bud saw in him in the first place, that alleviates a lot of those concerns about, you know, having to play so much nickel package and, you know, having to work young cornerbacks and guys like that into the game. It could be a really, really big year for the defense, but it just is a couple of spots where you just still feel like they're one injury away from catastrophe.
And WIP is one of them, but at least WIP is not a position that's dependent on heavily anymore. You could potentially move Chuck Clark to whip. I mean, the guy's 208 pounds. I mean, he's big enough to play the whip position. I think Ronnie Van Dyke will be an upgrade. Dirk DeNorda was an excellent run stopper, and he was a good pass rusher, too. Where he struggled was in coverage.
Yeah.
You remember UVA exploited him to score what looked like it was going to be the game-winning touchdown
right.
to the tight end,
right.
that deep drag route, and he just couldn't keep up across the field with the tight end. And he was also in the game against Georgia Tech when they completed that 4th-and-16, and that was completed over there in his area. He wasn't the best coverage guy, so I think Ronnie Van Dyke will be a better coverage guy, and overall whip will be upgraded. How much Bud wants to use the whip this year, we still don't know. It's going to depend on matchups. It'll depend on how confident he feels in Van Dyke's coverage ability and things like that. But if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to do a good job and have a good year there.
I think so as well. Gentlemen, we're out of time. This was fun.
Yep, thanks. Thank enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman, TSL, and at Will Stewart, TSL. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Don't forget, just about an hour from now, 6:50, the Yankees pregame warm-up, 7 o'clock first pitch, as the Pinstripes look to sweep the Burlington Royals. They have a team high, or an Appy League high, 14 wins, sitting tied in first place in the Eastern Division and the entire Appalachian League. Come on out and see us. We'd love to see you. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.